All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Beis in Avodah Zarah. We're in Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. We're going to finish up our discussion today about beer and move on to other areas of Isurei Akum. We learned yesterday this gzera about beer. Tosfos points out when we started the discussion, you're not going to find this gzera in the Mishnah. You're not going to find this gzera in the Braisa. Mishnah focuses mainly on wine, right? The Mishnah says, "Eil zraim shalav de kocham asur meisur meisur hana hayayin, and chomish shalav de kocham shayam mitchilas or yayin and vinegar that was once wine, but wine. Wine is basically the main point of our Mishnah, and the Gemara over here introduces beer. Beer is being also exer as well. So Tosfos says, presumably, he says he's not, right. He guesses." Perhaps this was done during the period of the Amoraim. So this gzeiron beer is already, historically it's different. That already is point number one, which we made yesterday. And then as we pointed out yesterday, as a gzeira, it's just a funny gzeira. Why do I say that? Because the Gemara says yesterday that these Amoraim, Rav Papa, Rav Achai, so what would they do? They would go to the they would go get a cup of beer. They would get a beer, right? It's funny, whenever we talk about beer, we never say a cup of beer. No, we just say a beer, right? But we say a cup of wine, right?
You normally say a bottle.
Beer.
You say a bottle of beer.
Okay, for whatever that's worth.
I don't know.
Right? A beer. So anyway, but Rav Papa, Rav Achai, when they would go and get beer, so here's what they would do. They would go get beer from an akum. And then, well, they can't drink it in there because it's Sheikha. There's a Gzer and Sheikha. So you know what they would do? They would go outside. And Rav Papa would actually bring it outside and he would drink it outside. And Rav Achai would take it home. And he would drink it only in his own home, but not in the house of the...
Not even outside.
Not in public, but he would take it home. And as I pointed out yesterday, it's just strange. It's just odd. Meaning, if there's a gzera, which presumably there is, so the gzera says that it's prohibited. You're not allowed to drink it. Let's, for example, by Stam Yenam, we never say, well, you know, if you take it home with you and you drink it home, so then it would be okay. And by Bishalakum. And by Bishalakum, food cooked by non-Jew, we don't say, well, you know, if you take it home and you eat in your house. We never say that. And just to make sure that this question is like really, I really sharpen the question. Why is Sheikhar Asa? Why can't we not drink beer? So the Gemara tells us why. The Gemara says it has to do with Chasnas. Now, granted, it's true the Gemara gives two opinions. One's Mishum Chasnas, and the other one's Mishum Gilui, because we're worried about the venom of the snakes going in there, but the Gemara essentially adopts the position of Chasnas. So just to sharpen the question over here, Chasnas, intermarriage. So if the issue is intermarriage, so the whole point is that you can't get beer from them, because that'll lead to intermarriage. That's what we said by wine. That's what we're going to say later on by Bishal Akum. So over here, Chasnas is on a sliding scale. Well, if you don't drink it there, but you drink it in your own house, that's fine. That's okay. That's acceptable. So a lot of issues over here to just draw out. So the Rush is bothered by this. The Rishonim in general are bothered by this. These are not my questions. I'm not really presenting these issues. Or the Rishonim are. And the Rush in the back of the Gemara, in the second parak, in Os Tesvav, so the Rush writes, "Mikomakom lo hichmiru bo kolkach." Right, so the gzera over beer, the rabbis weren't that stringent over. Kamo alapas ki alapas yichyeh adam uvai harchaketfei. And the Rush is something which we'll point out later on as well in the Masechta. Bread is a staple. Bread is an absolute staple. So when it comes to bread, and the rabbi said, bread baked by a non-Jew and food cooked by a non-Jew, so that's something which it's a standard gzera. You can't take it home with you. And all of a sudden you take it home and it's going to be mutter. We don't do that. Beer is not a staple. Right? The Yerushin Isser Ella Bishik Kovea Atzmo Lishtos Bevesa Ovekochavim Kiderach Shayu Regil Mekvo Atzmam Lishtia. And the gzera over here, it's not the beer. The gzera is not over the beer. The gzera is like over the act of drinking the beer, right? Sometimes I have to formulate where else we find this in halacha, where gzera is not going on an object, but the gzera is going on an act. And the Rush is essentially saying that's the case by beer. By beer, this gzera, whenever it came about, Mishnah, Braisa, Amarayim, whenever the gzera came about, the gzera is on the act of drinking, not on the actual beer. Oh, good. Now if that's right, assuming that that's correct, now we understand. So all you have to do is just change the act of drinking. So in other words, you don't drink, never condone going to a bar, but you know, you don't drink at the bar, you don't drink at the house of the Akum, you take it outside, or you take it home, so no, it's no longer the gzera. The gzera is not on the beer, it's on the act of drinking. Okay, that's what the Rush says, and it does help us understand a lot of these funny heterim when it comes to the drinking of the beer.
Is there an Indian of Marisani?
Well, that's perhaps, and the Gemara doesn't explain, but that's maybe why Rav Acha went and took it home with him. Because, you know, it just, I don't know how people are going to process that. You take it outside of his house and that's okay, and right, maybe. Okay. Amarav. We are 15 lines from the bottom of the page. First word in the line is Mishum Shimsa to Shimsa, which is where we ended off yesterday. And we're continuing in the Gemara. Amarav. Hai Shichra da Arma Shari. Shichra, beer that was Arma'a, made from the Arameans. Okay, group of people. That's fine.
People that were clean.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Da'ama Shari v'chiyabri lo nishti. Mine. So he makes a statement which seems to be a stira mine ubei, seems to be a contradiction. He says that the beer made by the Arameans is okay, it's acceptable, but my son can't drink it. My son does not drink it. Manafshach. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't make any sense. Ishar l'koliyam ishar yasar l'koliyam yasar. Either it's permissible or it's not permissible. Well, some people can drink it, some people can't. Ela rav savar mishum giloi. So the Gemara explains like this. Rav held that the issue was an issue of giloi. In other words, again, going back, why did they prohibit beer of a non-Jew? So the Gemara offered two possibilities. One is chasnus, the other is giloi. So the two Amarayim, which we discussed yesterday, they were chasnus people. Rav is a giloi person. He feels that the reason is because of exposure to venom. So he feels, he also feels, azul merura de kishusa vikali le zihire. And what happens is that although there's venom in the beer, there's also hops fermenting in the beer. And the hops is so strong, it burns the venom. Okay? So the power of the hops counteracts out of the venom. Udalake milke le tfe. However, if you are already in a compromised situation, meaning you're sick, you're not a healthy person, so even though the hops counteracts the venom, but there's still a little bit of venom, so a healthy person can handle it. But someone who's not healthy, someone who's a little weaker in constitution, they can't help it. Chia bari ho v'lake lo nishte minei. And my son Chia, he's a weak constitution, so therefore he can't drink it, but for the rest of the people, it's fine, it's no problem. As long as you're healthy, you can drink it.
People,
right, the way he presented the halacha, well, like right, correct. He didn't, right, he wasn't clear about it in the beginning, which is why the Gemara had to clarify. Okay, and now Shmuel, who is our physician, right, he's our man of science in the time of the Gemara. He was the astronomer, he was a physician, he was everything. So Shmuel says that when it comes to all shrotzim, every sharetz has venom. Right, spiders have venom. Every creature that crawls has venom. However, it's just not lethal. Meaning that there's some venom which is lethal, some venom which is not lethal. So shol shrat the main amemis. So amar leshmul achia barav bar arya tav ve'im lachamilsa malyas the dahava amarav avucha hachi amar avucha. He says, I'll tell you something that was said over by your father. Hani armai zukai davishasu gilui velomesu. Yeah. Ever wonder, this is a question which has been bothering me throughout this whole discussion of Gilui, right? Don't drink this because it was exposed, and don't drink this was exposed. And ever wonder why, for us, we're not allowed to drink because it was exposed, and for all the Goyim, right, they're fine, they could drink it? Meaning throughout this whole discussion, right, Gilui is an issue, right? Don't buy beer from a non-Jew because of Gilui. Well, and what about the non-Jew?
Right.
How come he's still standing? So the Gemara says, "I did the achle shkatzim v'ramasim chavul gufayim." So the Gemara says they have a different constitution; their diet is different. Oh, this Gemara speaks to a lot of people. Their diet is different, and as a result of their diet being different, so their tolerance to different levels of venom is going to be different as well. And so the Goyim, so even though they're drinking it and they're standing and they're not dying and you know it looks great, and but nevertheless though, because of a change in diet that they have a different constitution. We don't eat shkatzim v'ramasim, and therefore for what them is tolerable in terms of venom and poisonous, for us is intolerable.
Can we also just say, you know, that the Chachamim, right, didn't want to create, you know, like wanted to lower as much as possible a Sakanus fruit, you know? And I mean, because realistically, even today, like, you know, I mean, like, unfortunately, a lot of people probably don't keep this law. I don't even know of it.
Right. You correct.
Know, it's a risk. I mean, theoretically.
Correct. Correct. By the way, the point that I made in the Rush, it's pretty much said in Tosfos as well. Tosfos does not say it as clearly as the Rush does, but if you look at the Rush, I'm sorry, if you look at Tosfos, the second to last Tosfos on the page, essentially, again, it's basically the same give and take in terms of why beer is different than wine or Bishal Akum or all these other things. And Tosfos writes 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down in this Tosfos, last two words of the line, right? The prohibition of beer is to drink in their house. Aval, cry ba'alma share, but once in a while, meaning the gzera is on again, the act of drinking in their house. It's a different type of gzera. All right, much like we discussed in the Rush. Let's go on in the Gemara. I'm Rav Yosef. We're now in the top of Lamed Beis Amid Aleph. Hi, Chalad Shichra Dharma Asar. Beer vinegar. Okay, I'm not holding. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't matter. Beer vinegar. Chalad de Shichra de Arma, that was made by the Arameans. Also, that's going to be prohibited. Because they throw in a little bit of Yain Nesach, and consequently, it's going to have a little bit of Yain Nesach, and therefore, it's going to be prohibited. I'm Ravashi of Otzer Shari, Kevin de Marbebe, Misra Sari. However, if you buy the beer vinegar directly from the warehouse, that's okay, because they're adding the Yain Nesach only to the finished product, only to the end user. Because once they add that little bit of Yain Nesach, it already starts decaying. So that addition of Yain Nesach only comes at the very end. So if you go to the warehouse and buy from the warehouse, it's going to be mutter, it's going to be fine. All right, Adkan. That takes us essentially to the end of the discussion of Stam Yainam. Okay, so we have started the Mishnah in Chavtes Samad Beis. The Mishnah talked about items purchased from a non-Jew, which are Isurim Isur Hana. And the first thing that was mentioned is Yayin, wine purchased from a non-Jew, Stam Yainam, and the Gemara now for about two blot of Gemara had a very good discussion in terms of why it's Isur, applications of its Isur, of its Isur, and extensions of its Isur, meaning beer as well. Okay. We now continue the Gemara when Daflam and Bezam and Aleph, and we're three lines from the top. Cheres Hadriani. Earthenware of Hadrian. What is that? Well, before we say what it is, the Mishnah says it's prohibited. Right? Cheres Hadriani, together with Oris Levuvim. Right? These are things that which are also going to be Aser, and not only Aser, Aser Behana, you cannot get benefit from it. What is Cheres Hadriani? So that's the Gemara's first question. My Hadriani. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Cheres Shel Hadrinus Kesar. Earthenware of Hadrian Caesar. Is that helpful? Not yet, but it will be in just a moment. He also Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi comes in from Eretz Yisrael and explains this even better. Amar. Karka Besula Haisa Shlo Avda Ada Me'olam. Virgin soil. No one ever worked the land. Avra Vinata. So they planted a vineyard in this property. Now, because it's virgin soil, so the grapes that are produced are going to be powerful. Viramile lechamre begufe chevre. So here's what they do. So now you're making grapes on an uncultivated land. So the grapes that are coming out are potent. Then what they do is that they transform it into wine. And now they take this powerful wine and they put it in earthenware jugs that have never been used. Now, earthenware is a very porous material. Throughout the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, we're going to be talking about earthenware jugs. Earthenware is very porous. We don't see it as much, by the way, with our earthenware utensils because they glaze it.
Yeah.
It's coated. So, right nowadays, we don't get that sense of you don't see like our plates like absorb and drink the liquids, but that's because nowadays we have a glazing on it. But back in the good old days, though, it was just earthenware and it just sucked it up. It drank up all of it. And here's what they did. It's brilliant. It's really brilliant. And then, now you have these earthenware jugs that are basically absorbed, saturated with this potent wine. Next step, here's what they do. Then they break it and they make shards of it. It's brilliant. The Darbe Hadayo. And then what they do is, and when they go out to war, so now they're carrying wine concentrate in shards, in little earthenware shards. The Chohecha Damatu Taraluhu Vishasu. And then wherever they go, right, they're out in the battlefield, they're out in war, and they want to have a little drink of wine. So here it's just unbelievable. So they go into the backpack and they take out a little shard, which is saturated with this potent wine, and they dip it in water.
Get a wine.
Instant wine. Wine on the go.
Would the snake drink that?
Wait, no. We're done. We're past the snakes. Vishasu. And how good is this? The Gemara comments, I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Verisha and Shalanu, Kishlishi Shalahen. Our first pressing is like the third time dipped in for them, meaning that they soaked it once, that produces wine. They soaked it a second time, and again, it still produces wine. There's so much absorbed in these shards. A third time for them is like our first time. That's how good it was. It was the third dipping is like our first. Okay, so it was unbelievable. Now, so these shards are going to be also because they have wine saturated in them. Gemara now is going to ask a fantastic question. Let's imagine that you want the shards. You don't want the wine. In other words, let's say, for example, I see many people come into the room in the morning and their desks are not even. Okay? So the people here who are a little more handy, so they'll just go down and they'll adjust it. Okay, good. And then there's the rest of us who sit here and we manage with this table, that the tables and the desks that are uneven and shaky, and we just sit here for the rest of the day, you know, trying to not shake it. But anyway, well, how about this? How about taking a little piece of whatever, a pen or whatever, you know, hard object you can find, and put it under the desk and to keep it even. Okay, let's now, instead of using some sort of foreign object, let's talk about a shard saturated with this wine. Can I use the shard? So it's a great question. Because right now, all I'm interested in is the shard. It happens to be that the shard is saturated with the wine of a non-Jew. But I don't care about the wine of the non-Jew. I'm not going to soak it. I just want the shard. Ibailuhu. Mal lusmach ben kari amita. Can I use it to put under the legs of the bed? Okay, so I give the example of the desk. The Gemara gives the example of a bed. You want to level off a bed. So you put the shard under one of the beds in order to make it even. Can you do that? And the Gemara here crystallizes the question, Rotze b'kiyumo ayyidei davar acher share o aser. Rotze b'kiyumo. Right? In other words, when I have avodah zarah, what am I supposed to do with the avodah zarah? Destroy it. Right, avodah zarah needs to be destroyed, and here I have now yayin nesech. In this case, it wasn't libated. There was no libations with this wine, but it doesn't matter. The gzeira of stam yenam is yayin nesech, and so therefore, when I have stam yenam, I have to destroy it. Like we learned yesterday, it's aser ba'anah. You don't have to get benefit from it. So here I have, and it's rotze b'kiyumo. And someone says to me, "Okay, let's destroy the shard," and you say, "No, no, don't destroy it. I need the shard. I need to level my bed." So it's rotze b'kiyumo ayidei davar acher. I want the wine, but I really don't want the wine. I want the shard. So it's rotze b'kiyumo ayidei davar acher. In other words, you ask me, what do you want? I want the shard. Yeah, but you know the shard is absorbed with wine. I know that, but I don't care about the wine inside. I want the shard. The wine is not what's holding the bed up. It's the shard that's holding the bed up. So indirect desire to keep the wine, is that acceptable or is that not acceptable? Tashma, the Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan, Charas, v'chad sharei. So the Gemara presents it as machlokas amarayim between Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan. And then in parentheses we have the Hilchasa Kamanda Aser. The rush takes it out. Okay. Meisvei. Fine. So right now what we have is a question, a really good one. The Gemara presents two Amoraic opinions, and now a challenge based on a Braisa. Hador derim v'harok v'os sh'ol de kochavim yain shal yisrael kanos b'hem asa b'shtia umutu b'hana. If you have jugs or flasks, right? Rok va'os are leather flasks, pouches, like a, kind of like a thermos. Of a non-Jew, wine of a Jew is now absorbed inside of it. Asa b'shtia, you are not allowed to drink the wine, but mutar b'hana, but you can get benefit from the wine. Okay. Hey, Shimon ben Guda lefnei benosha Rabbi Gamliel, al Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, testimony of given to us by Shimon ben Guda in front of the son of Rabbi Gamliel about Rabbi Gamliel, Sheshasam imen abaka v'ha lo hodulo, reports of Rabbi Gamliel drinking this wine, and v'lo hodulo, and they said no. Now when they say no to him, meaning no about your report, no we don't agree, whatever, whichever one it is, it's no, no, we don't. That's not acceptable. Notice of the kochavim Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Levi kufusa I. If I have flasks of a non-Jew, so quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Kefusa I, you cannot use it as a saddle for your donkey. Okay, good. So flask. So leather flask. So here you have now a leather flask. I'm not going to drink the wine. Okay? I'm not even going to put my wine in it in order to hold it. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut it open, and I'm going to use it as a saddle for my animal. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you can't. You can't do it. Because that flask has wine absorbed inside of it, and you can't. I'm sorry, and the wine absorbed inside of it is Stam Yenam, and so therefore you can't use it. Okay? Yeah.
In relation using
for what? For
leather.
That's fine. Meaning because the hide of the animals are mutabahana. We're not allowed to eat it, but that's it. It's a mutabahana. The reason why the Gemara is having this whole discussion is because Stam Yenam, wine of a non-Jew is asur bahana, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So over here now we're talking about the Stam Yenam that's absorbed in the leather pouch. Right? And it's the same question as a Hadrian. Shards. It's Stam Yenam absorbed inside. So the question is, I don't want the wine, I just want the shards. In this case, I want the leather. And the Braisa is telling me, and this is a Braisa, that I cannot cut the pouch in order to make it a saddle for my donkey. Why not? I don't want the wine, I just want the saddle. The Ha'acha, and the Gemara just expresses the question. The Ha'acha de Rotz B'Kiyuma, de Davach V'Ketani de Aser. The Braisa says it's Aser. Ulatamech, the Gemara says, okay. Kankanim Shalav de Kochavim, Lisru Lemizban. So the Gemara says, Kankanim, barrels of non-Jews. That would mean that you were never allowed to purchase them, but we know that we do allow the purchasing of barrels of the non-Jew. Which we'll come back to later, not today, but another time, in terms of why that's acceptable. But that is acceptable. So the Gemara says, Maishna nodos, Maishna kankanim, amarava. Gzeru shem yivaken nodo, v'yitlenu v'yitfenu agabe nodo. So the Gemara says it like this. When it comes to the leather pouch that you take from a non-Jew, intrinsically, if you just want the leather, that's fine. Really, that's fine. Right? And if you want, in other words, and if you want to use the Hadrian shards to prop your bed up, also you could argue that that's fine. Although we'll argue that in just a moment. It's fine. It just happens to be that in the case of the leather pouch, the Chachamim extended an extra gzera. We're afraid, the Gemara says, that you're going to have your own leather pouch, right? Maybe all of a sudden, right, after a good gunfight, a bullet goes through your leather pouch and now there's a hole in your leather pouch and you'll say, oh no, I can't, you got to fix it. So what you'll do, says the Gemara, is you'll cut out a little bit of the leather pouch that you attach to your donkey and you will then use it as a patch for your own pouch. And so consequently, the Gemara says, for the leather pouch, we're a little more concerned of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
After a prolonged period of time, it seems like those shards, even with the powerful wine, according to Pilgrim, would be permissible.
Well, we did point out in the Mishnah. It's a good argument, but we did point out in the Mishnah that even by stam yenam, when it turns to vinegar, it's still prohibited. It's only going to be permissible if it turns into vinegar while we manufactured it.
I think what you're saying, over time, it's going to be completely evaporated. It'll be void.
Okay, I guess. Right, when it dries out, when it totally dries out, maybe that'll be correct. I don't know. But still, over here, we're talking about where it's still saturated.
But that's not one thing. Isn't the same problem? You fix the pouch, right?
Right.
So why is it different than just the sandal? What's the difference? Unless you're going to put wine in that pouch.
Right. In other words, you're going to put your wine in that pouch, and that your wine now is going to absorb whatever's... Correct. Okay. So now let's go back to our kankanim. You're allowed to buy barrels from an anju. Why? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to the barrels, it's true. In other words, they store their wine in their barrels. And it's true. There is some wine absorbed in the barrels, but it's a little bit, and it's negligible. Negligible, not in the sense, by the way, just if I could try to be clear about this Gemara, not in the sense that now you could use it to store your own wine. Not that kind of negligible. Negligible in the sense that if you just want to buy the barrels, it's fine. Yeah, it has a little bit absorbed in it, but it's a little bit amount. Trace amount. When it comes to the Cheres Hadriani, it's saturated. Fully saturated, right? The Gemara says, Hacha Issa Li'isura Be'enei. Here you can see it. It's like the whole purpose of the shard is as a way of transporting the Hadrian wine, the concentrated Hadrian wine. And so the Gemara says, so the Hadrian shards may be fundamentally different. In the Braisa, we have recorded that if you have wine that was placed into their flasks, so your wine, I should say, placed in their flasks, so you can't drink it because it absorbs some of the taste of the Stam Yenam, but it's Morta Bahana, you can get benefit from it. And then the Gemara reported in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, he did drink it. Okay. And the Gemara says, and they didn't agree. Here in this version, we have that Rabbi Gamliel drank, like in the previous version, but it ended off with Vahodulo and an approbation, like good job. Okay, great. And Gemara says, wait a second. In the first brisa we quoted, lo hodulo. In this brisa, hodulo. My lo hodulo, the Kamar Asam, kol siyato v'abino module. One answer says the Gemara is that, no, most people said you can't do that. Right, to Rabbi Gamliel. His son agreed with his father. Okay, which is not always the case, but here it was. Ibai zema, guda l'chud, v'godea l'chud. Or the Gemara says that different people reporting the story. One is Guda, the other one is Godea. Two people with very similar names, but with dissimilar accounts as to what exactly happened when Rabbi Gamliel drank from the wine. Oris Levuvim, we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The next part of the Mishnah talked about hides that you buy from a non-Jew. Okay? Certain hides that you cannot buy. Now, again, Stuart raised a couple minutes ago, hides in general are fine. Hides of an animal, kosher or non-kosher, are fine. It becomes a problem when that animal is offered as a takrovis avodah zarah, as some sort of vehicle to serve their idolatry. Okay? Then the animal becomes prohibited. So you go to the store and all you're doing is you're looking at the hide and you're saying to yourself, it looks fine, but then you notice a cutout in the hide. So the Mishnah says that's going to be a problem. Now, why are we worried about a cutout in the hide? So here's the practice back in the good old days. They would, while the animal's still alive, it's a little grotesque, they would cut open, they would make an incision in the chest, reach into the animal, and grab the heart out of the animal.
Mm. While it was alive.
While it was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, now that I explained that to you, let's go back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, now you could look at the shape of the cut. Bizman Shah Kereshalo Agul Aser, Mashuch Moter. If it's all just an incision, it's just a lateral incision. Oh, I sound so. So, right, I sound great. If it's linear, if it's a linear incision, so that's okay, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because they're not going to just make one line cut down and then reach in. If it's a circular incision, so in other words, enough for not only the hand to come in but the heart to come out, then you know that this animal was offered as Takovas Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you have enough circumstantial evidence that leads you to the conclusion that they went in and ripped the heart out, it's going to be a problem. Let's see the Gemara inside. Yeah, Tanu Rabbanan, Ezu Or Lavuv, Kol Shekara Keneged Alev, V'Kadur Kemin Aruva, Yesh Alav Karadam Asar. Here the Tosefta, right on the side you see it's the Tosefta. Here the Tosefta is even more clear about the circumstantial evidence. First of all, the cut has to be opposite the heart. So you have to know the anatomy of an animal to know that when you're looking at the hide, where exactly this hide is relative to the heart. Okay, the cut's got to be opposite the heart. The kador kemin aruva, and it's got to be a circular cut like we described in our Mishnah. Yesh lav karadam, and crusted blood. Right, crusted blood on the hide. Karat shaldam, Rashi says karat is crust.
No, krut.
That's the silence.
That's not
falls off. Okay. So Yesh lo alav karadam asar. Ein alav karadam mutar. But if there's no blood on the hide, so then it's fine. Because if there's no blood on the hide, it must have been that the cut came at some later point in time. In other words, in order to know that this bizarre idol worship practice was done, you have to see blood on the
but they may wash them.
On the hide. The next point of the Gemara. Am Ravuna lo shana lo shalom milchu. Ava milchu asrei mamachu havaraso. The Gemara doesn't give your example, but the Gemara gives the example of salting. They used to salt their hides. And if you salted the hide, so the salt absorbs the blood. Right? We'll talk a lot about that when we get to Chulin. The salting absorbs the blood. And consequently, you're not going to see the blood. And so the Gemara says, once it's salted, the blood no longer becomes a critical aspect of circumstantial evidence. Rashi Gamliel, Bizman Shekher Shalom Agol Asr Mashuch Mutter. So the Gemara quotes the line in the Mishnah of Rashi Gamliel. I'm Rav Yosef. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rishmo. Halachik Rashi Gamliel. And the Gemara says, and that's the halacha. Now, when you look back at the Mishnah, you'll notice carefully, no one argued in Rashi Gamliel. Didn't sound like he was taking a hard stand against somebody else. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Halacha Mechlal Depligi. Wait, by you saying, and that's the halacha, sounds like someone's arguing. Is that the case? Amalei my nafka lachminach. So he says, what do you care? Right? In other words, either I'm telling you that no one argues, or I'm telling you the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Either way, the you walk out of the shir saying today, oh, if it's a circular cut, it's prohibited. If it's a linear cut, it's permissible. What difference does it make whether someone argues or someone doesn't argue? Amalei, the Gemara says this often. Gemara Gamur, Zemirta Tehe. When you learn Gemara, it's like a song, right? Lyrics are thrown in. Some lyrics are needed, some lyrics are not needed. Some lyrics are thrown in because we got to get to the end of the line. Right? And right? It's a song. It's not Limud.
Bottom line is not enough. Right.
Well, and the Gemara says is that,
yeah, that's what he says.
And the Gemara says, and don't treat learning like that. Meaning, if I'm telling you that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, it sounds like someone's arguing, and you got to be careful, right? You cannot say something which gives some sort of false impression. So it's not, the Gemara is not just a song. It's not just, don't just simply say halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel with the implication that someone's arguing if nobody in fact is arguing. Okay.
What does the answer to that?
In other words, he's right. In other words, if Rav Yosef, in fact, if no one's arguing, Rav Yosef should not have said that. Rav Yosef should not have said the halach is like Shimon Gamliel. Just let the Mishnah stand without us having to comment, and that's the halacha. If no one's arguing, that's fine. Obviously, that would be the halacha. Basra nechnas avodes kochavim motor. Man Tana. Our Mishnah says as follows. We're in the next part of the Mishnah. Okay? Talks about meat that nichnasa avodas kochavim, meat that's bringing, that's being brought to an idolatrous service. Okay, now again, a lot of these mishnayos are going to be well understood if we lived in the pagan idolatrous societies. We don't. So, usually what happens, as if I know, like I know what I'm talking about. But usually what happens is that you bring your animal to the idol, and you shecht your animal to the idol. Right? That's normally what happens. Here in our Mishnah, we're describing the animal was shechted beforehand, and the meat is being brought to the Makam Avodah Zarah. Okay. Now, was this animal shechted for Avodah Zarah? Or not shechted for Avodah Zarah? The Mishnah says, we assume no. Basar nichnas avodas kochavim mutar. Hayotzei asar. Mimneshu kizif chemesim. If the meat is coming out of the base of Avodah Zarah, okay, that's going to be asar. But if it's already shechted and meat is being brought in, that meat is not necessarily takrovitz of Avodah Zarah. Okay. Says the Gemara. Mantana, Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, the low Rebbe Lazar. Our Mishnah is not going like Rebbe Lazar. The E Rebbe Lazar, Ha'amr Stamach Shevetz of Ove Kochavim, Lavos Kochavim, Rebbe Lazar is of the opinion that when you have an idolater, he is always thinking about his idolatry. And that means every time he shechts, even if he's not shechting in front of his idol, he's thinking about idolatry. And so therefore, Rebbe Lazar is of the opinion that any time an idolater shechts, it is takrovis avodah zara, which will be asur b'ana. You can't get benefit from it. Our Mishnah says that if you grab the meat before it gets in, it's mutter b'ana. You're allowed to get benefit from it. Our Mishnah is not going like Rav Elazar. Good.
So the idolater is slaughtered in the appropriate way?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It can't eat it, right? Let's just make this very clear.
Benefit.
You can't eat it.
Right.
When we get to chulin, the first topic of discussion is going to be who can shecht and who can't shecht. A guy, I mean, he can shecht, but it's not going to make the animal permissible. The point of our Mishnah here in Avodah Zarah is that you can get benefit from it. Meaning, you can take that meat and you can give it to your dog. You can take that meat and you can sell it. You can't eat it. It's not shechted. It's just that it's not Avodah Zarah. Okay. Hayotzei asur b'meishu kizif chemesim. My timer. He after the leket takrovas avodas kochavim. Good look. If you're getting the meat on the way out of the base of Avodah Zarah, you have to therefore assume at that point in time that it was offered as Avodah Zarah. So money, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi. Now, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi. The Tanya will learn the advice of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi. Omen, minayin l'takrovitz avodas kochavim, shemitame be'ohel. We discussed this earlier. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi, meat, an animal that was offered for Avodah Zarah, so it's takrovitz Avodah Zarah, you can't eat it, obviously. You can't benefit from it. And not only that, it gives off tumah. Tumah's mace. So if this meat of this animal were in this room, all of us would be tumah. We all share the roof of the same roof under that piece of meat. It gives off tumah like a mace. And he learns it through psukim shenemar v'yitzmedu labal por, labal peor, v'yochlu zivche mace ma mace metame ba'ohel. Just like a mace is metame ba'ol, after korvus avodas kochavim metame ba'ol, so too it's also metame ba'ohel, right? And obviously that is unbelievably severe. That's very strict. That it's going to give off tumah just like a mace. That's saying a lot. Who argues with Rav Yehuda ben Beserihi, right? Meaning, we're going to end off with this one last point. Meaning that according to Rav Yehuda ben Beserihi, you have now korvus avodas zara. And it's asur. That's clear. It's also asur b'hana. That's also clear. It also gives off tumah, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi says. Is someone arguing with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beserihi? So Tosfos wonders, and Tosfos asks that very question. If you look in the Tosfos Hayotzei Asur, so he writes as follows. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down as after lines become wide. Right into the line. V'ri perish l'inyan isra achila v'hana d'mishtai kra lo pligi d'chol tekorvus avodas kochavim. Everybody agrees that when something's offered to idolatry, you can't eat it, you can't benefit from it. Everybody agrees to that. There's no point of contention. Because we have a hekesh. Right? The pasuk says very clearly, they worship their Baal Peor idol, and and they ate zivchei mesim. So we know from that pasuk that anything that's offered is usar. We know that. Ki pligilin yintuma. The only point of contention, says Tosfos, is this last aspect as to whether or not it gives off tuma. The Rav Yehuda makish lameis aflin yintuma. V'chein mashma Rav Yehuda ben Bisera. It is only this point of whether it gives off tumma, that's the only point of contention. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira says it gives off tumma like a mace, and the Chachamim disagree. Okay, that's just one last point, just to make sure that we're all clear in terms of what is being discussed and what's an issue and what is absolutely agreed to by everybody. Good. Alright, we'll stop over here. Takes us to tomorrow's discussion. Okay. Rabbi Chanan Meir Nakash Marzkos Baruch Zaku Tzafich Achir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenem Anecha Chetz Matzikoy Yagdol Torah Viyadir.